Good to see all of you this evening. If you have your Bibles, if you'll take them and find the book of Proverbs, if you have your copy of God's Word, the book of Proverbs. Tonight we're going to begin by reading just the first few verses of Proverbs chapter 2 as we think about the importance of reading God's Word. So these days we've gathered to think about reading God's Word. My question to all of you is tonight, how are you doing in reading God's Word? Are you taking the time in your personal life to read the Word of God? Is reading the Word of God a regular practice in your life, or is it something that you only do when you come to church? Well, what we learn and discover is as we grow in Jesus, as we grow in the Lord, when we come to know Jesus, we need God's Word every day, all the time. So what I want you to see tonight in Proverbs chapter 2, these words describe the way in which we ought to read God's Word. So think about these words and look carefully at this description of how Solomon teaches us to pursue wisdom, and gaining wisdom only comes from God's Word. So we read these words, "My son, if you will receive my words," that's what you get ready to do every time you open God's Word. You prepare to receive God's Word. "If you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you." First, we receive what God has to say to us from His Word. We open God's Word and we say, "Lord, I need to understand your will for my life. I need to understand your purposes in my life. So I'm coming to your Word. I'm opening this English Bible that I have the privilege to have, the blessing of my English Bible, and I'm going to receive what you have to say to me today." Just as we're doing, as I've mentioned to you numerous times, and you can still pick this up, we have our church has our own reading plan. Many of you have your own reading plan, and I know that, but we're also asking you to join in reading it with us as a church. So, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you." That means they have to go into your mind. That means they have to go into your thoughts. "If you'll treasure my commandments within you and make your ear attentive to wisdom." So you're going to listen, as I said last week, reading God's words, hearing with your eyes. Reading the Word of God and hearing with your eyes. As you're reading your Bible, you're hearing God's Word. You're listening to what God has to say to you. "If you'll receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline," this is the phrase I want us to think about tonight, "incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding." There it is the second time. "If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures," that's what we do when we go to God's Word. We seek for that valuable truth of God that gives us understanding in our heart, and that we cry out for discernment, the ability to understand what we need to do in our life. "If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then," notice the result, "then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth," this is the Word of God, "comes knowledge and understanding." So first there is the desire to read God's Word. And I hope that all of you have that desire. Oh, how I wish and pray for you that you would have in your life a permanent habit of picking up God's Word and reading it, and that you'll come to it with expectancy. You'll come ready to receive. You'll treasure what you read from God's Word inside of your mind. You'll listen attentively. You'll incline your heart to understanding. See, this is more than knowledge that we're seeking to do when we read our Bible, just gaining knowledge of the events and the people and how things are put together. No, we need understanding. We need understanding. So in thinking about understanding, again, let me link these three verses on understanding, because tonight the focus of my discussion is reading the Bible for understanding. Reading the Bible for understanding. So let's look at these verses again. Note them. Verse number 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline. Okay, look, it starts on the inside in your heart. We know that in the Old Testament, the heart has to do with my mind, my will, and my emotions. So what we're asking God to do is allow the Word of God to incline, to change our mind, our will, and our emotions, and to give us understanding. This is such an important thing, understanding. It's more than knowledge. It's the ability to understand God's ways, what He's doing in my life and around the world, and also to understand my ways in light of the Word of God. So it's like a mirror. I pick up my Bible and it's like a mirror. I look at it and it shows me, oh, I have understanding now. I shouldn't have said those words. Oh, I have understanding. I shouldn't have desired those things. Oh, I have understanding now. You see, this is what happens. This is the mystery. This is what happens when we undertake to read God's Word and receive it. So we first have on the inside our mind and our will and our emotions gain understanding. Then we ask for understanding in verse 33. You see, those who read God's Word must seek for understanding. So if you cry for discernment, and lift your voice for understanding. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have some issues in your life and troubles in your life that you need God's wisdom and you need God's discernment. You need discernment to know what decisions to make in your family. You need discernment to know whether to do something at your job. You need discernment to understand what God has for you. So you ask for a discernment that leads to an understanding. Understanding makes it come, makes sense of it all. Understanding helps us to connect all the things that happen. If you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasure. Oh, you've got to read carefully your Bible. When Pat and I lived in Colorado, I've been there many times in my life. I lived in the state next door all my life, so we would travel there on vacation. There's so many places in Colorado where the miners came and they just dug up the ground and left it. It's still there. Just piles of dirt, just deep holes where they were hunting for gold, lusting to find gold and to get rich, and they just left the land destroyed. They had to dig a shovel at a time. They had to dig it out a shovel at a time. Searching for hidden treasure takes time. And may I suggest to you one of the things that will help you in reading your Bible? Slow down. One shovel at a time. One word at a time. One sentence at a time. Take your time. Take your time. You're searching for hidden treasure. You're looking for the Word of God for that day as you read that will help you in what you're facing in your life. Hidden treasure. Look at this. He says, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. All right, here's what we have. God's Word gives us two things. God's Word gives us, verse 6, knowledge and understanding. Now, with that in mind, as we think about understanding, I want you to go to a verse we've looked at before, and it's found in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where the Lord Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He's appeared to his disciples in many ways. We read these wonderful words in Luke 24. I want you to find your place in your Bible. Take your Bible now. Luke 24, find verse number 44, and we'll read together these words. Jesus had a breakfast with them. He ate some fish with them. He took it and ate the fish before them, verse 44, and he said, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then we read this statement Luke gives us. All the disciples that were there knew it because they experienced it. Then Jesus, he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. This is what we have, dear people. This is what we have when we come to deal with the Word of God. Oh, the reading of the Word of God. Oh, the reading of the Word of God. For God's Word gives us both knowledge and understanding, and we need both. We need knowledge of the ways of God, but we also need understanding, and they're not the same word. When you go to a new job, they teach you the basic skills of the job, what you have to do. There's knowledge that you have to learn. There's some things that you have to know about your job. But once you gain the knowledge, then you grow in your understanding of how it works and how these things go together and what you must do. Every time we open God's Word and we're born again people, we know Jesus, those of us who are saved. This is why those who read the Bible who are not saved can't understand it. It's only understood spiritually. It's only understood by the help of the Holy Spirit who guides us, those of us who are born again. So you must be saved in order to read your Bible and understand it. We come to another place I want to take you before I go land in my final place. I want you now to go to the book of Colossians. I want you to go to Colossians and I want us to see what Paul was praying for this church. Colossians chapter 1, find that over in your New Testament. You go through Luke and then you go through those early letters of Paul, and then we come to the letter to the Colossians. Paul had never met the Colossian church in person. He knew about them and he wanted to write a letter to encourage them. And so as he writes these words, here's what he says, Colossians 1, beginning in verse number 9. "For this reason, since the day we heard of it," he'd heard about their faith, he'd heard about their commitment to follow Jesus. He was praying for them always. He says, "We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask," oh, notice this, "that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Why do I need understanding as I read God's Word? Look at the next verse. "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." I read God's Word not only to know God better and to know His ways, but to understand how I'm to live in this troubled world, to understand and to gain a knowledge of God's will for my life and in the world, and to be blessed with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we read in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, seek for it, look for knowledge, pray for understanding and wisdom. And now Paul prays for this church as we must pray for one another, that we would all be filled with the knowledge of His will. How I pray tonight that as you read God's Word in your daily life, you personally will be filled. What are you filled with? Well, we're filled with something. What are you filled with? That you would be filled with the knowledge of His will. We need it for all the decisions of our life. We cannot exist without doing this. We must be filled with the knowledge of God's will, or we'll do it on our own and we'll make our own choices. Never a good thing. We must be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him. Some of us grow up as pleasers, don't we? We want people to be happy. Well, how's that working out for you? Not so good. You keep trying, and they're never happy. You keep doing more, and it just doesn't work out. Pleasers. But the Lord is the one whom we must seek to please. In the way we live, in the way we treat other people, in the way we love each other, in the way we carry out our marriage and our relationships, how we rear and teach our children, how we go to work, and how we carry out our duties. You see, we need understanding so that we'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him. Did you notice this in your Bible in Colossians 1:10? In all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, Paul can't stop, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. All of this starting in verse 9, when we are filled with the knowledge of God's will. You have something that the Colossian church didn't even have. You have the entire New Testament put together for you. These Colossian Christians with Paul had the Old Testament only, and some of these letters that were now being circulated from Paul. Very limited in what they had of the New Testament. You and I possess, and we carried in here tonight, most of us, a whole copy of God's Word. You've been to Proverbs tonight with me. You've been to Colossians with me. Because it is important for us to consider how we read God's Word to understand, so that we might live in a manner that pleases God with our mouth, with our actions, with our ways, and that we might please Him in all respects. Now, as we finish, I want you to go back to Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. Several years ago, we spent in here on Wednesday nights. We have Bible study in here for those who come to this Bible study. We have a number of them that are very good that go on. But we had this psalm, the longest psalm in your Bible. Each of those little words at the top of each section represent, this is a beautiful piece of sacred poetry, but it's also an acrostic, if you know what that is. It's all, sometimes you'll see someone speak and they'll use the same letter in all their points. So Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So through the Hebrew alphabet, each letter of the Hebrew alphabet is used, and every word that begins each of these sections begins with that letter. Beautiful work. Beautiful. Psalm 119 is an entire psalm given to prayer and meditation and thought about the glory of God's Word. Every verse is either a prayer, a request, or a testimony concerning the Word of God. And I have for you tonight, I've isolated for you tonight, and I wanted, if you take notes, you can jot these down. If not, you can just follow along. I believe I have seven places in Psalm 119 that speak of having understanding and the Word of God. And this is where I'll spend the remainder of my time before we're dismissed. So we begin in Psalm 119, verse number 27. I'll read beginning in verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Do you ever feel like that? I'm just down. I'm in the dirt. I'm beat down. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to what? To your word. That's why you read. Oh, preachers and teachers can do their part, but they can never replace the eternal word of God. You must go to the word of God, my friend. Because in the word of God, when your soul cleaves to the dust, when you are in misery, when you are in despair, pick up the Bible and read it. Revive me according to your word. I have told of my ways. You see, that's what we do when we're in despair. We tell the Lord of our ways. And you have answered me, teach me your statutes. A statute is his rules. Teach me the rules. Make me understand. Here it is. Make me understand the way of your precepts. You see, God has set in place eternal principles, laws, precepts that will never change. From generation to generation, no matter what language you speak, these laws will never change, these precepts. Notice, my soul is in the dust. So here's this first prayer. This first prayer is a prayer for understanding. When you come to God's word, you know the hard thing about coming to read your Bible when you're in despair? You can't concentrate. Everything else that's in your life is spinning in your head. You can't concentrate. It's what we talked about this morning of being surrounded by all of these trials. You're in despair, and it's just how hard it is to go and take the word of God when you're in a trial and a trouble and you're in despair. But he says, I have told of all my ways and you have answered me. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Why? Why do we have understanding? Oh, this is so important, folks, in verse 27. I want understanding so that I can meditate on your wonders. I want to get through all these tonight, and I know I'm going to control myself, but I want to pause here. There is so much to be understood here about the beauty of what happens when you read the Word of God. Look, here's the prayer. When you go to your Bible, I use these verses that I'm giving you tonight in my own life. When I'm reading, I pray these verses before I read sometimes. Because you'll see that they describe the different conditions we find ourselves in. When I'm in the dust, even old Pastor Mike gets in the dust. Revive me according to your word. Make me understand. See, make me understand. Lord, I don't understand. And you see, if you don't read the Bible, you start making stuff up. You come up with your own philosophy, your own idea, your own opinion. That happens at church. That happens at your house. We come up with the solution on our own. Lord, make me understand the way of your precepts. So I will do something. I will meditate on your wonders. How often do you pause and take one part of God's word in your daily life and just go and live with it all day long? It is my practice to try to find every day something from my reading that I can drive and think about and go to work and meet with people. I think about it all day long. I chew on it all day long. It's like a good piece of beef jerky, deer jerky. You just chew it and chew it and chew it. Now I made contact with some of you. That's meditation. I need understanding so that I can pause and really meditate on what God's doing in my life. And it comes from one of these wonderful passages. Number two, Psalm 119, verse 34. Verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." Again, the way of the statute. "And I shall observe it to the end." If you teach me, I'll obey it. "Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart." This is understanding that leads us to obedience. So why do I read God's word? Do I read it like a novel? Do I read it just so I can have some information? Do I read it so that I can impress my friends with how much I know about the Bible? No. I read these holy words, these very words from God, because secondly, I need to obey these words. I must learn to do what these words say. What did Paul say to us just a moment ago? What was his wonderful prayer to the Colossians? I read it to you again. "I'm praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Obedience. So we pray, not only make me understand, give me understanding. See, it's two different things. Make me understand. Sometimes the Lord has to make me understand. I don't want to understand it. I want to rebel against it. I want to fight against it. Make me understand. Secondly, give me understanding to be obedient, to observe the law of God. What I read, I must read in order to obey, to please God. I please God as I obey God. Third, now we go to verse number 73. If you'll find that, Psalm 119, 73. Now we're reminded of who made us. You're not an accident. You are carefully, the Lord knew you in your mother's womb. All these Baptist babies we have around here, they all come, all blessed by God. Oh, we celebrate. We celebrate them all being born. Your hands made me and fashioned me. I'm looking around. There's not a single one of us that looks the same in here. All of us uniquely fashioned by God. You are the beautiful handiwork of God. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Look what he asks again, second time. Give me understanding. Why? That I may learn. You see, this is the challenge for all of us who have some familiarity with the Bible and spiritual things. I'm going to say this to you, and I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm making an observation. Many of us come to a place where we become unteachable and unwilling to learn anymore. We pretty well got it down. We've graduated, you might say. We've graduated from spiritual high school, and we got our degree, and all is good. No, my friend. You must eat the Word of God every day. You must read the Bible every day, because as you consume it, it changes you. The Word of God gets inside of you. It makes you a different person. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you look at the world. It reprioritizes your life. It consumes you. These words consume you and control you, not the television or some other game or some other silliness we have in this world today. God made us as learners. The saddest thing in the church is to find someone who no longer believes they need to learn. How many times did the Lord Jesus have to say to the Pharisees, "Have you not read?" Of course you have. What did Paul say in the last days? Many We'll always be learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Oh, this matter of being unteachable. People are unteachable for a lot of reasons. They get mad at God. I don't want to hear any more from God if he's going to do that to me. Unteachable. Have your children ever been unteachable? Of course they have. Were you ever unteachable as a child? Of course you were. It is the human condition to live and be unteachable. But you see, my friend, when you come to the Word of God, you come with a willingness to learn. And so here's the prayer. Your hands have made me. Oh, all of my dear friends, those of you who've walked with God for a while, I'm along with you. But the question you must ask yourself, when you pray for understanding, you're also not only praying for obedience, you're not only praying for understanding so that you can meditate and understand God's ways, but you're praying that God will teach you and you'll be teachable. The unteachable. How sad a condition to be unteachable. He opened their minds to understand the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. We go to verse number 104. This is the conclusion of this section. So let me go back and read just a little bit above it. Verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Why? That I may keep your word. I'm not going to go over there like I used to go over there with that crowd. I'm going to restrain my feet. I'm not going over there. I'm not driving my car over there. I'm not walking over to their house. I'm restraining my feet. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay where God tells me to walk and go. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Oh, my friend, when you read the Word of God and it becomes sweeter to you than honey, you will discover what I'm talking about, really reading the Word of God. When God's words are sweet, they taste. You taste it. You read it and you read it again and you read it again and you're captured. It's like somebody who just wants to keep eating that good chocolate pie. You taste it and you want more and you taste it. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts, look at this, I get understanding. And what does understanding give me? Hatred for every false way. I hate the false ways that my flesh tries to bring back up in my life. I hate it. The Word of God is so sweet to me. It gives me such a different experience of life. It puts me in another place. It changes my mind. It transforms my emotions to the place that it is so sweet that I hate it. When my old flesh wants to go back to every false way. This is what we gain with understanding. We go on. Psalm 119, verse 125, if you'll go there now, 125. We find this in the center of the section on this psalm. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. Oh, the phrase, teach me your statutes, is repeated over and over. I am your servant. Give me understanding. Now he talks about knowing the testimonies. We have in the Baptist church, in our church, we at various times have people who share their testimony. Sharing testimonies. But you see, the Bible's filled with testimony. We have all of these sections. We have the book of Acts, which is testimonies. We have all of the history. We have all of the history, all of the early Old Testament. It's all testimonies. All these testimonies that come to us that we have, Paul giving testimonies in his letters, some of the other apostles to a limited degree. We have the testimonies of the Bible. We read the stories, the testimonies of those who've gone before. We've just been studying the book of Hebrews in here on Wednesday night. We just finished chapter 11. That's a chapter filled with testimonies of walking by faith. I want you to see it again. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. When you open up the histories, when you look at the stories of God's people who walk with God, we pray for understanding. So when you're reading in your Bible about Moses, you ask God to help you understand the testimony of Moses, David, or you pick whomever you wish. We ask God for understanding too. Because you see, from the testimonies, we gain encouragement. Because we can walk with God like they did. So we gain this value of understanding the testimonies. Then we come to verse 130. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. That's 129. Oh, here we are. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. That's what happens every time you read the Word of God. The unfolding of your words. The unfolding of your words. They're being unfolded before you, my friend. You may have read them many, many years of your life, but the unfolding of your words, what does it do? It gives you light. And it gives understanding to who? People like me, the simple. You know, it's amazing to me, and I've witnessed it all of my ministry life. Sometimes people will say, oh, Pastor Mike, I'm not educated enough to read my Bible. Yes, you are. If you can read and you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of going to school. It's a matter of going to God's school, the Word of God. And it has been a pleasure of mine to see the wisdom, the understanding, the godliness of those people who would be sometimes characterized as the simple. Mighty in the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God. Gaining by the Holy Spirit's help understanding. You see, by the way, you're only going to get anything out of it if you put anything into it. Well, I don't get anything out of the Bible. When was the last time you read it? I spoke with someone recently, Pat and I spoke with someone recently, and just in trouble. Troubled, having such a troubled time. It's a while back, but I asked this person, so tell me about how you read the Bible. She said, I can't do it. But you have to. I just can't do it. I'm in too much despair. Lady, you'll continue to be in despair. You have to read this to live. You have to read it. I can't read it to you. Your husband can't read it to you. You have to read it for yourself. Pick it up and read. Oh, listen, my friend, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit is inside of you, if you pick up this Bible, God will be your teacher. He teaches the simple. Well, in verse number 144, we see these words. It's the ending of another section. Trouble and anguish, verse 143, have come upon me. Anybody here ever had that? Trouble and anguish have come upon me. Well, here's a man who's reading the Word of God. Here's a man who desires understanding. Here's a man who's seeking to have the knowledge of God and the unfolding of God's Word, and he still has anguish. And trouble. Anguish and trouble have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are right forever. Give me understanding. Why? What's this time the understanding for? To live. To live. As I said, dear lady, you must read the Bible to live. This isn't an optional thing for you. You have to read the Bible. You must. And others would say to me, I just don't have time. Pastor Mike, you have lots of time, but I don't have time. Well, I appreciate that. I wish I had more time. But you have to find the time, because you need to read and understand. Listen, you can't live if you don't read it. Finally, 169. It's the beginning of the last section of Psalm 119. What a glorious psalm. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. And then he makes this conclusion. Give me understanding according to your word. That's what we pray when we start to read. Give me understanding according to your word. Oh Lord, give me understanding according to your word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the word of God. I pray that tonight, all of us together, my friends who are here tonight, give them all understanding as we have opened your word tonight. Holy Spirit of God, take and place these truths in our hearts and minds. May you fill all of these dear people who are born again and saved in this room. May you fill them all with a knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. All of it. Full. Fill them up. Fill them up, Lord, for all the troubles and anguish and heartache they have, for all the disappointments that come in their life. Fill them up. Fill up my friends, Lord. Give us understanding so that we might live. Open our minds to understand the Scriptures. Oh, may these words become sweeter to us than food, the most tasty of food. So while we're in this time of prayer, we invite you to come tonight if there's a spiritual decision you need to make. In our church, we invite people to publicly come and say they're ready to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus as a disciple in baptism, to join this church, whatever the decision might be, to repent, to ask God to forgive you the way you've been living, to recommit your life. If you need to make some public, sometimes we need to make a public statement. Sometimes we don't. So I'm standing here and I wait. Invite you to come while we pray. If you need to do that, you know what God's telling you to do. Step out and do it. Just do it. Do what He tells you to do. So, Lord, it has been good for us to be here tonight. Thank you for these dear ones who are here. Bless our people all across this campus, our students as they meet tonight and they work together and they study the Word of God and grow. Thank you for all you do for us. Oh, the blessings you give us here are great. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. May we take it and read it and have understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Say hello to somebody on your way out. Hope to see you Wednesday night. Good to have you tonight. God bless you. Yeah.